Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Last fight, I was tired. I was exhausted. I'm about to launch this NFT that's going to change the fight game. And I put in 30 all-nighters before that fight. I had herpes before that fight, two outbreaks in the span of a week. I'm here. I'm healthy. Let's go. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
A lot in that 15-second clip there from some MMA fighter I've never heard of before. He starts with, I've got an NFT that will change the fight game. And last bout, I just had two herpes outbreaks.
Wow. Explaining his subpar performance the last time around, but he's back. He's ready right. And whatever.
I had herpes before that fight, two outbreaks in the span of a week.
Congratulations, or I'm sorry.
Busy week, yeah.
So we're about to talk about wacky college classes, and it just popped in my head. You brought up earlier when I was talking about Twitter that maybe we should discuss what's a good way to use Twitter. You could hardly come up with a more important college class, though I wouldn't trust any university to actually teach it, but something more important than media consumption. In the modern world, there should be a freaking 101 and other higher levels of media consumption. It should be a required class. But again, I wouldn't trust any university to teach it correctly. But take it, because I thought of this just because I was in the lunchroom getting some coffee and there was something on the TV that was so far from true, it was false, even though it was factually accurate. It was so misleading, and that happens all the time. And media consumption might be the most important thing you do as a grown-up in terms of trying to figure out what the hell is going on about everything, from finance to politics to whatever.
Boy, you add to that how the algorithms work that addict people to social media, why you just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, how they achieve that neurologically, the stuff from that wonderful social media documentary whose name I can never remember. Yeah, that would be a great class, and I love the idea of it being required.
You know, Ian Bremmer had a pinned tweet forever on his Twitter. If you're not following somebody you don't like, you're doing it wrong. I'm telling you, like, if you only watch Fox and would never turn on CNN or MSNBC, you're making a mistake. Or vice versa. If you would never watch Fox, you're making a mistake. You're missing out on so much of the information that goes on.
Yeah, I would agree. So among the wackiest college classes you can take these days, this is both amusing and indicative of the fact that colleges and universities are now grotesquely expensive diploma mills / sleepaway camps for people in their late teens and early 20s.
Well, camps, yeah. The glamping, certainly the highest level of glamping in a lot of universities.
Yeah, resorts would have been a better word than camps. They're resorts for the young, at the end of which you get a diploma, which theoretically allows you to enter the upper echelons of American life. by the way, you're not going to be required to learn anything or to even make an attempt to learn anything, because most of the professors there won't make any attempt to teach you anything. Having said that, enjoy your student debt. Number one example is Introduction to Surfing at Pepperdine University. It's a one-credit phys ed course, general understanding of surfing and ocean safety. Classes fill up almost instantly when registration begins. Students are told to bring a towel and warm clothing.
I took bowling as a college class.
I took bowling and golf. I tried to take golf twice, and they wouldn't let me.
Now, so justify that. That would be, for instance, the bowling class I took. It introduced me, at least at that time, to something. I think at that time it was the number one participation sport in America. And it's just broadening your horizon, right? So, like, as a guy who is, the problem is, like, they should ask you, have you bowled? Yeah, I've bowled quite a few times. Okay, you get bowling. This is for people that, like, have never bowled, to introduce them to something, to broaden their horizons. Let's introduce you to something you've never done before.
No, I'd rather bowl. Can I drink during class? Because that's, there you go. All right, let's keep moving among your wackiest college classes. The Nature of Society, Beyonce and Intersectionality. For 3 credits, students at Texas Christian University are taught the characteristics of the Houston-born pop queen. Open discussions in class cover such bold topics as racism, classism, and sexism.
Yeah, well, that would, it's all in the hands of the professor how that's handled. But again, in an attempt to justify it, if you're somebody who comes from a world that never listens to that kind of music, here you'd be introduced to a whole new, it's like me saying, if you only watch MSNBC, watch Fox. You'll be introduced to all kinds of new topics. If you never take in that kind of music, you'd be introduced to a whole different culture that's probably worth knowing about.
Wow, listen to Jack.
Probably worth knowing about. Absolutely worth knowing about.
Deep thoughts with Jack Armstrong. I was just going to reel off the list.
As long as they're, you know, taking kids from, you know, urban suburban areas and having them listen to Jason Aldean and whoever else, to learn about that whole section of the world.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Number 3, Cornell University, upstate New York, tree climbing class. 1 credit, phys ed, how it covers how to get up into any tree, how to move around, and
really,
how to climb down, even how to climb to another tree.
So I wasn't following this. So the tree climbing class teaches you how to get up into the tree. Okay.
Yes. First year students at the University of California, Berkeley, who are mainly, well, never mind. certainly quite a few of them are Chinese nationals paying full boat, so there's no room for any kids from California.
Right.
Take a deep dive into TV judge shows in the 1 credit course, Arguing with Judge Judy, popular logic on TV judge shows.
Ah, boy, you might have to justify this one. I'm not sure I can justify this one.
Students specifically examine Judge Judy in the People's Court and discuss why certain practices in the courtroom are common.
But in TV courtrooms, I'm not sure that that's anything you need to know.
There's where you're dead wrong. You're climbing up the wrong tree, Jack. They discuss why certain practices are common. Are these shows presenting a perversion of our legal system or a look into that system?
Huh.
For example, when asked, did you hit the plaintiff? Respondents often say, if I would have hit him, he would have been dead. This reply avoids answering yes or no.
Oh, hilarious.
That offers a perverted form of the logical strategy called an a fortiori argument. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
There you go.
How about this? This is an interesting class. Nip, tuck, perm, pierce, tattoo, embalm, adventures with embodied cultures. How people alter their bodies in different cultures around the world.
Now, that's pretty interesting.
You got your neck stretching people in Africa, for instance, the plate in the lip.
Yeah.
All sorts of tattoos and scars what have you.
I actually heard some of the dumbest analysis of that the other day. It was this Charlie Parker biography I'm reading, and the author music critic, and you know how music critics are, was claiming that they used the example of the plates in the lift and the stretching necks on the way that black people stretch and go beyond, and how it transferred into jazz music with so people stretching their lips is the same. Okay, whatever.
That's idiotic. But thank you for your opinion anyway. How about this? Harry Potter, Understanding Good and Evil. It's a four-credit seminar course taught at High Point University in High Point, North Carolina. Examines the fine line between good and evil among historic figures, but with a swish and flick twist.
Okay, see, so yeah, I can completely buy that. The Harry Potter is the hook, but it's just the good versus evil in all of literature through history. I get that. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. This is a great one. Montclair State University in Montclair, New Jersey. Going viral. Three-credit class. Our focus will be on the contemporary science of technological innovations and how social media are transforming the way we do business, politics, entertainment, and activism.
That would be more important, if taught correctly, than 33 out of 4 classes you take in your college career.
Sure. Here's one at UCLA. Michelangelo wishes he'd taken Dealing Tactfully with Difficult People. If only he had, Michael.
Yeah.
Class instructs students on dealing with such behaviors as verbal attacks and put-downs, complaining, thoughtlessness, manipulation, and more.
Again, if handled well by a good professor, that would be more important than half the classes I took in college.
This might be my favorite. It's a agriculture class at Penn State University called Cow to Cone. It's how dairy products end up in commercial ice cream. That whole process, okay, from cow to cone.
The loser in that group to me was the climbing the tree. Unless your frisbee stuck up there, I can't see how you benefit from that one.
Armstrong and Getty. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
But resist, we must.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Okay, here are your most gratuitous headlines I've come across. One of them's for real. This first one's stupid from the New York Post, but some of you morons would click on it.
Oh, wait, easy now.
No, you're a moron if you click on these stories. And you're encouraging them. Here's the headline. I'm terrified my saggy boobs will suffocate me in my sleep. To get you to
now,
click
I'm
on the story.
Pulmonologist, but I think the chances of that happening are extremely remote.
Well, you'd have to click on the picture to see, wouldn't you?
Self-boob smotherings are remarkably rare.
This got me to click just because I was kind of curious about it. Tragic story. Grandma fell in a pond with alligators in it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
In Florida.
I imagine this story's not in the news because she climbed out safely.
Or fought them to a draw.
No.
No. 80-year-old woman fell into the pond at a country club in Florida. 7:30 p.m., you know, sun's starting to go down.
Oh.
Got eaten by alligators. The sheriff's department said I've got it here. God, where was it? It's important that I get this worded right.
You know, the fact that there are chunks of America where dinosaurs roam free is so strange if you don't live there.
The sheriff's department said the cause of death was alligator attack.
Hmm.
So it seemed
not
like
to put too fine a point on it.
Nailed that down pretty well. God, that's a caveman-y way to go.
Oh, this is like, again, it's like dinosaur era.
What are you thinking? You're 80? Am I
O-S.
Thinking? Am I thinking, really? I think I'd be thinking, really? Really?
I step a foot to the right, and I don't slip in. Now, I've slipped in, and I'm being eaten by alligators. Or at least drowned by them. I guess people often don't get eaten, they just get drowned. But
all right.
That's depressing. Why'd you bring that up?
I just thought, well, it was a story I clicked on, because I thought, wow.
Yeah, I guess you like bears and mountain lions in some parts of the country and grizzlies and others.
Hey, I was going to bring up Darwin because we often mention Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody does something stupid, then we think Darwin doing their work. But if you're not of reproduction age, is that doing any good Darwin wise? Because you're not, if you're 80, I'm not saying she did something stupid because I don't know what happened there.
Are we really going to go there?
Well, if you're too old to reproduce and you do something dumb. Okay, let's picture. So you got a 65-year-old woman gored by bison trying to take a selfie. I don't feel bad for that person. Like I do grandma and the alligators. I don't feel bad for the 65, but that's not a Darwin thing, really. It didn't strengthen the species. It's not, you know, natural selection, because she's not going to have any kids.
No, not strictly speaking. You could make the argument. I'm not making this argument, by the way, because it would include me. You could make the argument that unless you're playing a productive role in the herd, if you will, you ought to get out of the way. Like an old elephant, wander off and die.
That's the worst argument you've ever made.
I'm not making it. I'm just, for the sake of the argument.
You're practically now, a eugenist or something.
The counter-argument, which is the one I hold dearly in my heart, is that our elders' wisdom and experience is invaluable, and we should not be forcing them out to die in the hinterlands or feeding them to alligators.
Well, I was focusing on the mythical selfie with a bison 65-year-old. And I don't know if she's got much wisdom to pass on to me.
I haven't met her. I don't know. Well, no, from a strictly selection of the fittest point of view, no, she's outside the equation.
Yeah, so Darwin never said survival of the fittest. That's people put that on his idea. His was natural selection, and, you know, the stronger, smarter beast procreates and survives and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah. Anyway, step carefully around the alligator pond.
Yeah, absolutely.
And don't let your boobs suffocate you. That's the headline from that. Two stories there.
A little heads up for the ladies there in this segment.
Or me.
Although old fellas certainly plunge into ponds and get et by gators as well.
Sure.
It happens. Exactly. Rarely. It's very rare.
No need to be gender specific.
No, indeed. What about non-binary people?
Right.
They too fear the mighty alligator.
They have every right to be eaten by an alligator.
Or evade it, as is their, you know, their decision to make. And who are we to tell them how to live? Oh, you know, that reminds me. There are a couple of stories from the radical gender theory crowd, which is the term I'm going to be using, because there are many gay people, you know, folks who aren't quite sure what they are, whatever, transgender people, etc., who don't subscribe to radical gender theory. That's its own thing. That there's no such thing as this or that, and we shouldn't, that we should use the term people with the capacity for pregnancy. Most people, no matter their orientation, think that stuff's Looney Tunes, so don't be bullied. So, got a couple of stories from that world, maybe next segment, but a quick pair of tales from San Francisco, where we have ruled the airwaves since 2003. Actually did pretty well on a Sacramento station before then. But San Francisco is unquestionably a troubled city. The Bay Area's got challenges. A prominent San Francisco leader in the African-American community is calling for more action to curb violent behavior by, quote-unquote, homeless people after he was severely beaten by two allegedly homeless men with a plank. There are these two junkie types menacing the people he's trying to minister to at his community center, and he asked them to move away from the entrance, and he attacked them with a plank. And bruised and bloodied him.
There's no question that the street population has gotten much bolder in the whole, no, I'm not going to get out of your way, you get out of my way. The attitude is clearly different based on my personal experience.
Yeah, the Reverend Amos Brown, president of the San Francisco NAACP, pastor at Third Baptist Church, I was talking about this. The director of the community center hospitalized, said the pastor, the homeless situation has been out of control for too many years. He said the Fillmore neighborhood, where I used to spend a fair amount of time, has been besieged in recent weeks by crime, theft, drugs, and danger. Well, oh my gosh. He went on to say, our streets are littered with needles and feces. They smell of urine and degradation. We need to help these people. We need to help our city, and we need to hold homeless people and our leaders accountable. Echoing the perfectly sane point of view that I've mentioned before when European drug rehab people came to visit San Francisco, they said, whoa, in Europe, if you're a drug user, you're still absolutely held to the standards of society. You can't act like an animal. What are you doing here?
Armstrong and Getty.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky?
In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center,
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
And now, here's Armstrong and Getty.
We brought up yesterday Mark Milley and General Jack Keane was on Fox News talking about the challenges the military has in recruiting, and that was one of his duties when he was a three-star general, Jack Keane. And it set off a whole bunch of really interesting emails from folks about why the military is having such trouble recruiting. And they range a great deal, as you'll hear. I won't give any names. There's no need. But hello, writes one correspondent. I can say the quality of recruits have definitely gone down as someone who's in a leadership position now. We just had our semi-annual fitness test in the Navy, and all four of my junior-most sailors were either broken due to chronic illness in their early 20s to participate, too broken, or failed to meet the minimum standards, which in the Navy isn't very difficult. I'm nearly 39 and beat out 95% of my command. I'm not in nearly as good a shape as I was when I was at their age, etc. The drug thing isn't as big a deal as you'd think. We have a saying in the Navy, there's a waiver for everything. And that includes minor crimes as well. Mm. We've honestly dropped standards too far in recruiting already. All we can do now is provide more to incentivize service.
Yeah, that's one of the troubling aspects is that we've been dropping standards, and the number of people that qualify is still going down faster than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Mary, longtime friend of the Armstrong and Getty Show, writes, both of my sons enlisted a month after graduation in 2006 and 2010. It was not 9/11 patriotism. It was being informed of the role they could play in defending America. They deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan, and Gitmo. Since leaving the service, they both have college degrees due to the GI Bill, etc. If the media could stop talking about vet homelessness, suicides, and PTSD, which are real, but a small part of post-service life, more people would serve. My daughter is married to an active duty service member. They live in Sicily. The U.S. military opens the world to young people. I hope things change. Military friends are friends for life. Then this from Bart. Here's why the military is struggling to meet their recruiting goals. I'm former military from a big military family. Half of my friends and associates are military folks. So, number one, no one wants the shot. They aren't losing 20% of their fighting force for no reason. We know it doesn't work, and we know the risk, especially to young men.
You're talking the vaccine for COVID?
The vaccine,
it's keeping people from joining the military. That's interesting. Of course, we knew, you know, as I think about this in real time, I remember when we were talking about this on the air, but people were retiring from the police force. I mean, that's your career. That's what you dedicated your life to.
rather than get the vaccine. So, yeah, I suppose it would be easy to believe that people are not joining rather than get the vaccine.
You know, Bart, it does work to prevent serious illness and death in most cases, but a young man doesn't need that anyway because they wouldn't have that option.
No.
Most likely.
No.
Number two reason, Afghanistan. I lost friends in Afghanistan. We've spent American lives in Afghanistan for 20 years. My father fought in Afghanistan.
Wow.
Multiple generations have. Only for our president to cede the entire country and everything we fought for to the enemy and for China. We lost America's soldiers' lives that day. All he could do was look at his watch. Three, no one wants to sign up to die in Europe, Iran, or Israel's next war. I'm familiar with history. I know the risk of being isolationists. I don't care. We've been bottle feeding half the planet for the better part of a century. If they can take care of themselves at this point, it's not our problem. We don't need to die for Ukraine, Moldova, Taiwan, or any other country but our own. Every young American knows it's worth nothing to die in a proxy war on behalf of this year's campaign donors, and this administration has shown how little they care when we do.
Boy, I've said very similar things over the years. There's a book out. I can't remember the name of the book or the author now, but it doesn't matter. Talking about the world we're about to go into now that we are no longer interested in guaranteeing the safety of the seas for commerce around the world. Mm-hmm. And how much we have benefited for the last 75 years as being the world's policeman. It has made us very rich and very safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but a lot of young men have died.
No doubt.
Just as an aside, Bart disagrees with me specifically on certain Trump-related issues. Bart, I'd still be honored to shake your hand, buy you a beer, and talk about the world someday. Let's see. 21-year-old's thought on military recruitment shortage. Jacob writes, I've been a young listener to the show since high school when my economics teacher recommended you guys. Fabulous.
Wow! That's fantastic.
I get the first, blah, blah, blah. My thoughts on the military recruitment shortage is this. As a 21-year-old constitutionalist libertarian, I've witnessed and been affected by failures of the government, corruption, and violation of constitutional rights. The last 2 years have been monumental in showing just how corrupt and nonsensical the government is. Many people of my age and political views who are eligible to join think, why would I sign my life away to the government who constantly violates our rights and treats us like cattle? I have great respect for those who have served, but there is a strong anti-government sentiment in people my age who may have joined but are disturbed at what this government has become.
So we didn't think about that angle of it. So we were talking about the number of young people that might not sign up because you were taught in high school this is a bad country. So why would you want to join the military to protect a country that's making the world worse, according to your social studies professor or teacher in sophomore year of high school? I didn't think about the other side of it, though. The people who feel like the Constitution's not being followed, et cetera, et cetera. So what am I protecting exactly?
Yeah, and listen, an argument can absolutely be made that the pitch to join the armed forces, and if you're new to the show, both Jack and I come from families that have had lots of folks in the military. We're not elitist beltway types who talk about the military with absolutely no personal knowledge. The pitch is that you're defending the United States of America and its people and its Constitution, which is a powerful pitch. Powerful pitch. The reality, unfortunately, in many cases, is folks have sacrificed and died on various ill-advised adventures that may or may not have been even a little bit necessary. Or just been a terrible idea or poorly executed. And it does not help recruiting thinking, I'm not defending my country. I'm defending, commerce in the Middle East, for instance. And commerce in the Middle East is not an insignificant thing. I mean, for instance, or the shipping lanes in China or what have you, or just the rules-based international order. But that's a different ask than I'm defending the United States of America. And I think a lot of young people think, I'll defend the US of A, the whole international order thing, Al-Shabaab in Africa, whatever, not so much.
Well, I think I could get closer to being all right with defending the world order since it benefits our country so much more than I'm still in Afghanistan and might get my feet blown off today because neither president from either party over 20 years wants to be the guy who pulled out.
Yeah, I totally Well, I don't totally understand it. I do my very best to understand folks who served in Afghanistan and are angry that we pulled out, just gave it to the Taliban. Now China's moving in, they're mining, etc. That frustration is, I get, you know, to the extent that a civilian who didn't serve there can get it. On the other hand, I think in a lot of ways it's the perfect example of throwing good money after bad, good lives after bad. As Jack, you know, was just explaining, we could have gotten out of there having accomplished what we set out to accomplish a long time ago. And to sacrifice more lives and limbs and eyes and the rest of it because, well, we've been there for 20 years, that's not right.
It's called a sunk cost in economics.
Right. Right. Whether you will have been there for 20 years, whether you continue or get out. So what are you better off doing? Continuing or getting out?
This is a serious problem, though. If you just can't recruit young people to be in your military, that's a problem.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's a multifaceted problem. A lot of folks brought up, thanks everybody for your emails, first of all, for taking the time. They're beautifully written and heartfelt. Many people mentioned Afghanistan. Several people mentioned the shots. I have a feeling the kids who have been taught to hate this country and believe it don't listen to our show.
Right.
But that's a factor. It's got
to
be.
You'd have to ask Steve Inskeep to bring it up on his show if you want to reach those people.
Yeah, on NPR.
I didn't think about people not joining the military because they didn't want to get the vaccine, though. That one had slipped by me. Yeah.
Interesting.
So that will go away at some point, right? Or will it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Are we going to keep giving the COVID vaccine pretty much forever because it's going to be around forever?
Well, I think the bug itself will keep evolving to the point where it's unnecessary. Who knows?
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey.
Armstrong and Joe Getty.
Point of personal privilege.
Don't get brazen with me.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I just find this funny. This is a report from Vice.com. The psychics and tarot card readers across America, they have an organization of some sort. It's called the Intuitive Workers Community, which is funny because they have intuition that the rest of us don't have, right? About your life and who you should be dating and whatever.
We'll be marching for our rights on Tuesday.
I know. They're warning people that there are fraudsters online, people that don't actually have the intuition, that are just trying to steal your money.
Good Lord.
When they pretend to know what your future's going to be. That's freaking hilarious. I mean, I feel like there's some sort of meta mind F going on there that I can't quite even get a hold of.
Is there a term for that? There should be. I'll bet there is. It's the wolf in sheep's clothing, warning that there are wolves, because it reminds me of now one of the most popular email phishing scams is an email saying you've been scammed. You need to get in touch with us so we can save your money and fix it.
Well, yeah, that's more or less what was happening to my mom. You know, people saying we're with the government. You have been scammed. So here's how we're going to protect you. You need to take your money out of your bank account because it's been compromised.
Wow.
Yeah. There probably is a name for that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Couple other things I wanted to mention while we have time. The GoFundMe situation. You know, we've all heard a lot of great GoFundMe stories. You know, you got a little kid with cancer and the parents don't have health insurance or something, and everybody throws in a bunch of money and hey, the kid gets his operation or something like that. Those are good stories. Mm-hmm. And then we've heard some really awful stories, with like some weird, like, you're in a weird place at a weird time, you're not a particularly good person, then everybody decides you need to get a bunch of money. And then things like this. GoFundMe is allowing a page for the Minneapolis gunman, who Joe brought us that story yesterday, who was just firing randomly into an apartment complex, and then the police showed up and killed him. GoFundMe is allowing a fundraiser for his family. It's already over $25,000. They shut down a GoFundMe for that bodega clerk, Jose Alba, who was just protecting himself, clearly, it would seem to me, self-protection.
When he was getting a vicious beat down from a multiply convicted ex-con, yeah.
And fearing for his life and fought back he had to fight back because he was fearing for his life. They took down that GoFundMe. They say it violates their rules, which their rules seem to be somewhat complicated and case by case based on a whole bunch of different situations that have occurred over the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah. GoFundMe has gone the same route as Facebook and Twitter and others, that if you are to the right of Mitt Romney, they will not do business with you. Like so much of Silicon Valley and tech, they're woke, they're young, they're lefties. And this is just unbelievable. This guy and the poor mom, we played the tape of her yesterday, screaming at the Black Lives Matter protesters who were lionizing this guy, calling him a good and decent man and that the cops were wrong to shoot him down. He was spraying gunfire into her apartment where her little children were. Okay, and she was enraged at the phony, woke, self-righteous nonsense of that march. The idea that this guy is just, he's an admirable man, a hero, a victim, but the guy who got the beat down trying to protect his bodega, I mean, GoFundMe is sick.
The GoFundMe for Sundberg's family, that's the guy who was spraying shots into the apartment building, says his life was taken too soon by the Minneapolis Police Department. I think it was taken right on time before he hurt some innocents. It would appear. You know.
It's practically a miracle. Nobody else, including two beautiful little kids, died. Now, was he having a mental health issue? That's what they say. And damn, that's sad. And I'm sorry. But come on.
GoFundMe said in a statement defending the move, our terms of service prohibit fundraising for the legal defense of a violent crime, which is why they had to take down the one for Alba, the bodega owner.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Kamala Harris and other prominent lefties donate and raise zillions of dollars to furnish funds for rioters and looters? and cop beaters during the infamous George Floyd riots of 2020. GoFundMe's full of crap. Use another one. Don't use them.
Yeah. Are there other? No, I'm sure there are others. But
oh, yeah.
Is there a prominent name that you know that I could trust if I was going to send them money?
I can't remember.
Because, God, there's got to be a lot of fraud going on in that world.
Speaking of heroes, the Open Championship was held over the weekend, sometimes known as the British Open Golf Championship.
Golf, that's the one with the swing the stick at the ball.
That's right, and the ball flies through the air and occasionally goes in a little hole eventually at the other end of the field. The British Open was held, or the Open Championship. It was incredibly exciting, one of the great golf tournaments I've witnessed. It was just edge-of-the-seat stuff, the back nine, the final nine holes. Young Aussie Cameron Smith triumphed over crowd favorite Rory McIlroy of Northern Ireland and actually edged out a young American, to Cameron Young, to win. But the Aussie, Cam Smith, rocking a no-kidding five-star 24-carat mullet. Not the one of those, it's kind of a mullet, or no, he's just got long hair. No, it's a freaking mullet. It's an unapologetic business in the front, party in the back mullet.
Bono 1980 mullet.
Exactly. Second bemulleted American winner in the last 15 years is John Daly, who rocked a hell of a Tennessee top hat at the time. A triumph in Great Britain. And there's something especially satisfying about a mulleted yahoo, whether he's an Aussie or an American, winning the crown there in Great Britain, in Scotland, actually, at St. Andrews, the birthplace of golf. There's something particularly satisfying about that for me. I don't know why.
Did
rocking
you have
the skullet up the back nine. Yes.
Did you have a mullet at one point?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It was glorious.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. The 80s rock and roll guitar player mullet. Absolutely.
And I've never had the kind of hair where hairstyle was a choice. So.
Sorry to hear that. On the other hand, this story does give me the opportunity to run through several synonyms for a mullet.
Okay.
As I have researched this, several of them quite amusing.
You've already hit us with a couple of good ones.
A couple. How about the Camaro crash helmet? The Kentucky waterfall, the Mississippi mud flap. Let's see. There are some I don't get at all. The Lenko, the Maury, the Frullet, the Bullet, the Alabama waterfall, the Tennessee top hat. Captain Planet. What is that?
The Camaro crash helmet. That's a very Joe Dirt sort of version.
Yeah, yeah. The coat rack, the 1090. The Schmelby. What?
The
Scort.
The 1090. Is that like a police code or?
I maybe 10% of the hair, 90% of the hair. That's all I can come up with. Let's see, the Camaro, Malicious, the Malay, the Malaysian, the Neck Warmer, the Schlerm.
Schlerm's a pretty good word.
The Manbian? I don't know what that is.
I don't know why Schlerm is so fitting, but it is.
The Manbian. So that's a man wearing a haircut that was at least occasionally favored by lesbian women.
Oh, okay.
The mullet. The Manbian.
Gotcha.
The Billy Ray. The Lukey. The Larmoose.
The Billy Ray.
The NASCAR. The Brullet. The Mississippi Bobcat.
Yeah.
Oh, this goes on and on.
Billy Ray Cyrus, one of the more famous mullets, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Finally, the MacGyver. It's not bad. Coon Rapids.
So you get the Coon Rapids going.
The white trash Ferrari. That's working too hard. I think the Camaro crash helmet is my favorite. Anyway, congratulations to Cameron Smith of Australia.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.